I love the way God works things out. The passage that we're going to be in this morning is Exodus 34, 1 through 10. And I knew all along that we were going to do the Lord's Supper. And as I'm studying, as I'm thinking about it, as I'm reading over it, that verse, the verses that we read about how great God is, sometimes we miss that. And it was right in the middle of this passage this morning. And I thought, if I hit everything I want to hit, the business meeting will be starting late. No, I just know that it's one of those things that God put this together. And I'm not trying to say I'm holy, spiritual, that type of deal. I'm just saying God can use even me. And we're going to look at this passage this morning. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 34 of Exodus. And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there, on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herd feed before that mountain." So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hands the two tablets of stone. And now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, "If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all the people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. But Lord, we thank you for what your word reveals of you to us. Your grace and your mercy and your love, your forgiveness. Lord, we don't deserve it. But I pray you take your word today. And Lord, do not let us leave this place the same. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You know, a lot of times as a youth pastor for about 30 years, I always used to try to tell people, hey, if you're going to witness to people, use the ABCs. You know, admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ and what He's done, and confess your sins to Him and commit your life to Him. And so I always use this ABC. This past week, I went to CDE. Now, you're using C twice, but it's not my deal. So don't complain to me, but it's CDE. And that's my prayer every Sunday morning from now on. Convict, draw, and encourage. I pray that for every one of us, and I include myself. We need either convicted, which we all do. We all need drawn to Him, and we all need encouragement. And those things can only come from Him. Pre-sermon, that didn't cost you any extra. this morning, as I look at this, I think about what has just taken place. God had given Moses the tablets. He had called him, and a lot of people think, well, Moses was the only one that went up on the mountain when God gave him the Ten Commandments, and yes, that's partially true, but there were two other guys, and if you look back into chapter, I think it's 24, somewhere in there, there was a couple other men mentioned, and there was 70 elders, and there was Joshua, and they were all supposed to come up at least partway on the mountain, and then Joshua went on up with him. And God gave him the law on these two tablets. And we most of us have seen it on TV with Charlton Heston. I don't know that that's what it looked like, but hey, that's what we've got to go by in our mind. And so God had written those with His own hand on the tablets. And Moses comes down, and we know the story. The children of Israel, he'd been up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and they're thinking, man, he's not coming back. And so they go to Aaron, his brother, who was kind of like that step-down leader, and they said, hey, he's not coming back. Make us a God that we can follow, something that we can see. And so Aaron says, take off all your earrings and all your gold and give it to me. And he fashioned a calf, and they began to worship it. And then at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, as Moses and Joshua are coming down the mountain, they hear this noise, and God had said, go down because the people have rebelled. And so they go down, and Moses sees what happened, and he throws the tablets down and breaks them, just so frustrated. And he throws them down, and Aaron, his own brother, who had been the spokesman for God, says, they wanted a God, and so I took it and I just tossed it in there, and it came out a calf. Dude, remember who you're talking to, all right? And so that day, over 3,000 people died because of God's judgment. This passage we're looking at today takes place right after that. God sends Moses back down. He sees the people have rebelled. And Moses goes down, throws the tablets down. They're broken. And God could have just wiped His hands, said, no, I've led you this far. I brought you out of slavery. I brought you to this mountain. You've seen the fire on the mountain, and yet you're going to rebel against me. You're going to turn against me. God could have said, I'm done. But God is the God of second chances, and third and fourth. But here, we're looking at this one as a second. Because when this all takes place, Moses begins to ask God to show him His glory. And so in verse 31, when he says, go cut two more tablets. Man, there is so much in that. Because God is saying, I'm not giving up on these people. I'm going to give you two more tablets. I'm going to give you a second chance. You go cut two more tablets, and I'm going to write on them everything that was on the first one. It's not like, okay, they were rebellious. They wouldn't have followed this one. Scratch that off. They're definitely not following this one. Scratch that off. No, He put every commandment on the second one that was on the first one. And so He gives them that second chance. And He tells Moses to cut those tablets again. And then He tells Moses to do something. Now this time He's going to call Moses up there, and what happens right here is, I think, where you and I need to start paying close attention. The sin of the people had broken the relationship, symbolic of the tablets. But their sin had caused a broken relationship, and God did not give up on them, though He had every right to. You and I sin every day, and God sees past that to the blood of Jesus. Or if you've not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, God is willing to look past that. He's willing to forgive because of the blood of Jesus. He wants us to seek His glory. He wants us to have a relationship with Him so much that He says, I'm going to give you two more tablets. And then He tells Moses something He's got to do. There's three things. And these are three things I think we have to do. God's going to take care of the tablets. God's going to do His part. His part has never changed. It's the same words. It's the same size tablets. It's everything's the same on God's end. But there's things that we have to do. Verse 2 it says, be ready in the morning to come up and meet me. When you got up this morning, were you ready to meet God? No, I'm just going to church. And that's what a lot of us think. Well, we're just going to church and we're going to learn about Him. We're going to praise Him. We're going to sing and we're going to fellowship together and we're going to learn some things and maybe not learn some things. And we're going to walk out pretty much the same. If that's what you came for, that's what you get. God told Moses, you need to come ready to meet me. And it's not going to be through your pastor. I can guarantee you that. If you're going to meet God, it's because you better be ready. He's asking you to be ready. Moses, whom He spoke to all this time, as He led the children of Israel through the wilderness, Moses needed to even be ready. When we come to church, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 99 years, you need to come ready to meet God. Unfortunately, that's really not the case for a lot of us. And I'm including myself in that. Sometimes I get so busy, sometimes I get so focused on what I'm doing that I come ready to preach a sermon and I'm not coming ready to meet God. I'm as guilty as anybody here. And that's why sometimes we walk out thinking, well, what just happened? But I want us to walk out saying, whoa, what just happened? I want us to be ready to meet God. That's where we have to be. Because your God has given you a second chance. And I'm not talking about just that second chance at salvation. I'm talking about that second chance to live your life for Him, to glorify Him, to bring praises to Him and honor Him every day with your life. Well, I come ready to meet Him on Sundays, Pastor. I really feel like I do. I get up and I pray and I'm ready to come and just be in His presence and sing praises and listen to His Word and see what He has for me. But Monday, I got to go to work. Why can't you meet Him Monday? Why can't you meet Him Thursday? It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with this building. Our God is not contained in a box. Yes, it's a very special place and we are blessed with it. But the bottom line is, if my heart's desire is to meet God, then it doesn't matter where I'm at. Man, I hear that as I said that come out of my mouth. Well, Pastor, I can go to the lake next week and I can meet God just the same. Yes, you can. But He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some have done. We need each other. We need to see that I'm not the only one going through this. I need people to lift me up in prayer and to encourage me and show me that, hey, they went through that too. And I need to be doing the same thing for them or someone else. We have to be ready to meet God. The second thing He says, after He says, come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. Well, isn't that the same? If I walk up into His presence, isn't that the same as being ready to meet? No, it's not. Because there's a lot of times we may come ready to meet God, but I am not willing to present myself to Him. Because if I come willing to present myself to Him, that means whatever He wants me to do, I will do. Well, that got really uncomfortable really fast. You'd think I'd just ask if there was any more announcements. It got really quiet. But that's where we've got to be. I've got to be willing to present myself. He told Moses, he said, come up here, be ready to meet me, and then present yourself to me. If you've ever won some type of a competition or anything, and you come up and they have the trophy or the medal for you at the presentation service, they give it to you. If you're going to come to meet God and you're ready to do that, then the next thing He's asking you to do is present yourself to Him. And you know, I've been blessed enough to be at a couple of those things, but I've watched a lot more. And you know, when they gave somebody a trophy, they presented it to them. Guess who left with that trophy? The person it was presented to. Oh, we're just going to let you hold it, take a picture, and then I'm taking it back. That's our spirituality. We present ourselves to God. God, I'm giving you this hour this morning at church. I'm going to present myself to you. But I'm going home, and Monday and Tuesday, I'm doing my own thing. We've got to understand that when we present ourselves to Him, we are His. He has the right to take us where He wants us. Wow. So He tells Moses, be ready to meet me. Present yourself to me. And then in verse 3 it says, and no man shall come up with you. Don't even let any cattle be on the mountain. You know, the time before, other men came part way. Joshua went a little farther. He's saying, it's between you and him. He told Moses, he said, I don't want anybody else up here. This is between me and you. I don't even want Joshua up here. I know he's your right-hand man. I know he's the guy that helps you. And God knew he was the one that was going to take over when Moses was gone. But he wanted it to be just between him and Moses. He wants it to be between him and you. Not between him and your family. Not between him and your church. He wants it to be between him and you. You've got to be willing to come solely to him personally. So we look at this so far. He tells Moses to be ready to present himself and make it personal. Man. That's a lot. But what happens when Moses does that? Look at this. When Moses does that, he cuts the two tablets, he gets up early in the morning, and he goes up on the mountain, and he's ready to meet God, and he's ready to present himself, and he's there by himself. And the Lord descended in a cloud. The Shekinah glory of God came down and stood with Moses. Because Moses did these three things. If you did those three things, would you be shocked if God did that for you? Think about that. He not only comes down and stands with him, he reveals everything about him that Moses could comprehend. He's the Lord God. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, he's abounding in grace, goodness, and truth, and he's merciful, and he's forgiving, and he's all of these things, and He tells Moses that because Moses was ready to meet him. Moses was willing to present himself. And Moses was willing to do it alone. You know, there's a lot of times we're not willing to do it alone. Man, I will do it in my Bible study. I'll do it in my Sunday school. I'll do it in my church. I'll even do it in my family. But when God says, you do it alone, sometimes we say no. But God reveals himself to Moses. He doesn't just get a glimpse. He gets a pretty good picture. About as much as you could possibly get. Because no one could see God's face. And so what does that do to Moses? The same thing it should do to you and me. If we will do those three things, God will show up and he will meet you where you're at. He says, if you will draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. That's a promise from God. When Moses met with God, man, he couldn't get to the ground fast enough. Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped God. When you're in the presence of God, you're not just going to stand there and think about it. You're not going to, what's going to happen? I love this song, and I just blanked on what it was. I can only imagine. There you go. I'd almost said it already. And in the song, I love it, but he says, I just can't even imagine what I'm going to do. Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? You don't even know what you're going to do. When you stand in the presence of the Almighty God, you're not even going to be able to think about what you can do. You're going to fall with your face to the ground and worship the Almighty God. When you're willing to meet Him and present yourself to Him and get personal with Him, He's going to be there and you're going to worship. And man, that would have been enough right there on the mountain just to be able to be up there and with Moses and for God to just show up and say, this is who I am, Moses. And it would be enough. If we came in here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or Tuesday afternoon or whenever, if you go to a place or if I go to a place with the intention of meeting God and we're truly ready to meet Him, if we're truly ready to meet Him and we do those three things, that would be enough to have the presence of God come down and just say, hey, Steve, this is all that I am. Gracious, merciful, loving, forgiving. That would be enough. But Moses wanted more. Man, is that okay? Is it okay to want more of God? Yeah. I think He wants us to want more. It's just too many times we're content. Well, I got a lot more than I had last time. I got more out of this Sunday than I did last Sunday, so I'm good next week. No. He wants us to desire more every day. Look at this. After he worships, he says, now if I found grace in your sight, O Lord, and if the presence of God had just come down and told him how gracious he was, you would think he'd found pretty good, he was in good sight with God, as he says. If I found favor in your sight, he says, Lord, I pray, come and go among us. When you go and you're in the presence of God, Moses said, God, I want you to go with us. Don't be satisfied to go and meet Him somewhere. Desire for Him to go with you. That's what Moses did. He's like, God, it's not enough that I just meet you and you leave. I want you to go with us. Come and go with the people of Israel. God, I don't just want to meet you here on Sunday morning and at 11 o'clock me leave. I want you to go with me. I want the presence of God to go with me. Not only that, he goes on, he says, go with among us. But then Moses realized that we're a stiff-necked people. And he says, pardon our iniquity and our sin. I want God to go with me. And so in that case, I've got to be willing to have God be honest and open with Him and ask for forgiveness. Forgive my sin. Sin is when we miss that mark. God has a bullseye for us, and any time we try, we miss that mark, and that's really what sin means. You know, when I'm trying to do good and I still mess up, that's sin. Iniquity is wickedness. It's perverseness. It's a choice to go against God. Well, we surely don't do that. Yes, we do. Every day, because you and I know what God calls us to do, and we choose not to do it. That's iniquity. He says, God, forgive me where I fall short. You know, if you find yourself in the presence of God, it's immediately going to do something. It's going to show your stains. You know, if I put on a shirt of a morning in the bathroom and the light is off, it may have stains all over it and I'll never know. But the minute I turn that light on, ooh, this shirt, I can't wear this. It's got too many stains. When you get in the presence of God, the light switch goes on and you begin to see all your filthiness. And when you begin to see your filthiness, when I begin to see my filthiness, I'm in the presence of God. He shows that to me. I can do nothing but ask for forgiveness. Ask Him to pardon that sin and iniquity in my life. And then Moses does one last thing. He says, and take us as your inheritance. God, we belong to you. We are yours. And we've been in your presence. You've shown us who you are. You've shown us our sin. We ask for forgiveness. And God, I want to surrender everything of me to who you are. You are God. And I want to be your child. Take me as your child. Walk with me. Talk with me. Change me. Mold me into what you want me to be. And what happens? Moses goes down. And God writes with his own hand again on those tablets and takes it back down. The God of second chance wants to know if you're ready to meet him. Wants to know if you're ready to present yourself to him. Are you willing to get personal? If so, I want you to ask Him to go with you today. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And this is not just for non-Christians. I sin every day. I have to ask God for forgiveness every day. Ask Him to go with you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Become His child. Desire to let Him be your Father in heaven. That's what He wants. He's giving you a new set of tablets. He will write on there what He wants to, but you've got to be willing to take them. I don't know where you're at today. You may have came here knowing this. I may have not told you anything new. But as a Christian, I pray there's conviction where there needs to be conviction. I pray God draws you personally. And I pray He lifts you up and encourages you with the Spirit of God living in you. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, understand that God, that relationship that sin has broken for them, has broken the relationship God desires for you. But He's given you a new set of tablets today. He's giving you the opportunity to meet Him, to present yourself to Him, and to begin a relationship with Him alone. That's what He wants from you. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. So that a gracious, loving God who is forgiving of everything can be the same God that is just and righteous and punishes everything because of what Jesus Christ did for you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would just take it, use it, glorify and honor yourself. Lord, do not let us come to this place unless we want to meet you. Lord, may we be ready for you to rock our world. In your name we pray. Amen.